to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains. How are you today? Look at you. You are so nice. I can't believe how many people are online. You know, it takes a lot to stop what you're doing and to listen to a podcast live. So believe and trust that I honor you, I value, I respect you, and I appreciate you. Today, we have another person of honor and respect here on the Edge, author Karen Koenig. She wants women to step into their own. Karen is highly stepping in her high heels on the edge with her book, Woman on Top, How to Win in a Woman's Way. Karen is a retired veteran of the United States Air Force. She did 26 years, and she has a story to tell women about how to build confidence, how to have clarity, how to stand with courage, and to teach people how to treat you in life and in business. Help her, us welcome her to the Edge today, Karen Koenig. How are you, baby?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. I was so excited to have you. You know, we're a military family, and I love it when a woman can get it in, especially when she's stepping in high heels. Tell us all about you and your experience, because you have such a career. Start with your career in the military.
Well, I joined the military back in 1987, and that was back when men really didn't care for women to be in the military. And on top of that, I chose to be in a field that was pretty much male-dominated, so I started as an electronic mechanic. I worked out on the flight line on the RF-4C aircraft, and I was one of two women that ever worked in the electronic shop that I was in. And went on to be in the military, got commissioned in 2000, became an officer, and then left the military in 2013. So had a good career over the 26 years and learned a lot.
So what I honor and value about you is that you started, for the lack of a better term, as a grunt. You started from the ground, from the ground up. You didn't come in as an officer graduating from a military academy.
Right, I didn't. And I actually what is called a slick sleeve, so I had no rank. I was an E, whatever they call it, E0.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, worked up to an E6 and then got commissioned in 2000 and retired as a major, 04. So
wow,
I had a good career.
Look at you. Now, you must have been really good in mathematics as well because, you know, aeronautics, you have to know how to count and you have to know how to position and angles and, you know, be good with that. Were you good with mathematics all along in your life?
Yeah, I was in all the college prep classes as a kid in high school, and I took college-level calculus when I was in 11th grade. So, yep.
And so you're still good with numbers because now you're working in the world of finance. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, in 2015, I decided to kind of change careers completely. I was 49 years old, and I decided if I'm going to do something different with my life, I should do it before I turn 50. And I decided to get into the financial services business because it was something that looked interesting to me, and I love to help people. So why not help people with their money and help them with their accumulation of wealth, protection of wealth, and distribution of wealth, and teach them a little bit of money, about money on the way?
Absolutely, because financial literacy is key. So many people think they have to work for money. They don't know how to let money work for them. You know what I mean?
Correct.
This, too, is also a pretty much male-dominated field. Tell us a little bit about how you feel with working with men, you know, and what happens. I mean, I like working with men, too, but sometimes it can be a challenge. What are some of the obstacles that you faced in both of your careers?
Well, I would say that the biggest obstacle is us women. We're just as smart or smarter than the men, but we tend to kind of take the back seat just because men have tended to run most industries or be, you know, dominated in most industries. So The biggest thing is, you know, just learning. I learned a lot of stuff from being in these male-dominated fields. I have learned a lot being in financial services as well. And there's cues you can take from men, but I feel like I have an advantage because, like, for example, where I live and work, I'm the only female financial advisor in this city. And
wow.
I think I have an edge over other people because people like to work with women because we built the relationship and we're good about education and we don't make people feel, you know, stupid about their money. I just love to educate people. So that's, you know, one of the things that I've taken away from being in a male-dominated field is men are good educators. And so I've learned lots of things on how to be really, really good with people.
Speaking of being good with people, you know, a lot of times people aren't good to us. And you and I share the same quote, that you've got to teach folks how to treat you in the world. Okay?
Yeah.
Because it is an option. It's not a choice. You know, and so many times we are respectful and people are disrespectful. Give us some clues and some insight on your position when it comes to teaching people how to treat you.
Well, back in the military, the biggest thing is if something happens, you have to speak up. So there's a portion in the book where I talk about where I was disrespected by a coworker, and I, one, called him on the carpet for it, but then I went to my boss and I said, this just isn't right. And I made him take care of it because I just wanted that not to happen again, and I wanted to set a standard for how I wanted to be treated in that entire shop.
That's right.
And that kind
That's
of
right.
and that kind of set the course for the rest of my life, because the biggest thing we can do is we can teach men how to treat us, because I don't think they really know. And I think society has made it really hard for men to understand how to treat women in the workplace because there's so much stuff going on and so many things that they get in trouble for. So I feel if they ask or if we tell them how each individual person needs to be treated, then it's easier for them to get along with us in the workplace than try to tiptoe around, you know, the issue.
Right. Well, you know, you're talking about tiptoeing, and they're walking in flats, and we're walking in pumps, okay? So it's a different dance, okay? It's a different dance. And with that, okay, with the Me Too movement, it has really cast a dark shadow on men. I love working with the man. I've been married to Mr. Magnificent for 35 years. I adore what he brings to the table. He honors me. And in corporate America, honestly, I have been torn up by more women than any man. But how does a man, you know, how does a man balance that? How does he really come to the table honestly, openly, but still he has to be firm? You know, there's some decisions that have to be made. They've got a much deeper voice, a lot of bass in their voice. They're strong and they get in your face. How do we show up for that kind of delivery?
Well, I think that, you know, we have to take a seat at the table and we have to be, I think, equal to that. But we have to still keep our femininity and grace. And that was one of the biggest things that I learned was even though the military tries to strip you down and they make you look the same, and kind of in corporate America it's the same way, where women try to look like men and act like men, we bring something to the table by being feminine. And there's a way to be feminine without being super sexy and, you know, that type of thing that goes on. And I think that we don't have to emulate what the men are doing, but we can learn from it. So again, like, you know, in the military, I just learned, hey, I'm going to listen to the men that are mentoring me because they've been here longer than me. And I'm going to take bits and pieces from it. And I think men can do the same thing. You know, they show up and they're all, you know, male and, you know, masculine and that's, you know,
full of
but there's another,
the
full of testosterone. And I think there's another side of men that they just don't bring forward. And if we show men that it's okay, that they can bring forward the other side of their personalities, I think that in the workplace that we would get along so much better.
So let's take it out of the workplace. Now, you told me that you're not married, that you have a partner that you've been with for a long time. You know, it's hard for a man to even approach a woman now without him feeling that she may accuse him of something that's inappropriate. You know, and I'd be a little fearful of that, too. How do we take our femininity as well as our smarts and mirror into that to make it warm and inviting to be approachable to men?
Well, I think it's I met him on Match.com. So, I am pretty kind of, I wouldn't say I'm aggressive. So when I see something that I like or want, I go after it. So
go for
it,
girl.
I'm
aggressive too.
He said I stalked him, but I didn't. I mean, I just was persistent because I liked what his profile looked like. I liked that he looked honest. I liked that one of his pictures, he was sitting on a motorcycle, and I love to ride on the back of a motorcycle. So that was something, you know, that I thought that I could, you know, have in common with him. I love football. I love sports. So it was really interesting when we first started dating because he thought that I wanted to do all these things with him just because I was trying to impress him. And really, it's like, no, this is my personality. And you just need to lean in and you need to understand that I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to be equal with you and have fun.
Right, right. Do you ever feel that a woman should step back and not always be an equal? Do you feel that a woman, quote unquote, has a place?
I would say a little bit because I know, like, in our relationship, my partner is a Leo. So Leo is like,
me too, girl. God bless you.
They like to have their ego strokes, and they like to be touched, and he likes to have a kiss the first thing when I come home from work.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yep.
Yes, when I come home from work, I step into the feminine side of me and try to be there for him as the woman, because I want him to be proud of the fact that, you know, I'm a woman and I can be feminine. I don't need to be his equal all the time because
right.
I think men feel a little threatened by that and it's not good in a relationship. So, yeah, I step back a lot and just let him, you know, take the reins.
Right. It doesn't feel good to me either. I'm not trying to be, you know, overly masculine. And we, you know, we switch roles here. He comes in and cooks and washes and cleans the house, and I go outside and cut the hedges and cut the grass. You know, I can change some oil. So there's no particular gender role. But along those same lines, I want to be needed as a woman. I want him to know that I'm tender, that I'm soft, that I'm loving, that I'm giving, that I'm kind, that I'm wise, that I'm the mother to his children. So I do believe, me personally, that there is a role that a female person as well as a male person plays in a relationship. You've taken all of this and you've compiled all of this great information in your book. Tell us a little bit about your book.
So basically, I wrote the book because when it comes to basically the workplace and being an entrepreneur, you know, women have fears that men don't have. And we put a lot of unneeded expectations on ourselves because of feedback, you know, wanted or unwanted from our families and friends. And after being in those three different male-dominated fields, I just wanted to address the issues. And there's three things that I really want people to hone on when they read the book. And one of them is that it's a little bit about perfection and why getting ready to be ready doesn't work. And I think women get caught up in the fact that they have to have everything perfect before they either launch a business, or they have to have that perfect website, or they have to do, you know, something along that lines before they ever get started. And I just feel that, you know, perfection is not progress. The other thing is success in your field or any field doesn't mean sacrificing self-care. And I think women get so caught up in taking care of other people, our husbands, our partners, our children, our coworkers, that we need to take time for ourselves. And I talk about the art of delegation. When you figure out, you know, I love to do social media for my business, but I don't have the time, nor is it something that I'm good at. You have to learn the art of delegation and hire
right.
that out. And I
right.
think us women, we get so caught up in what it costs to do those things that, right. you know, we really need to sit there and think, is it worth my time's $50 an hour, for example, and is it worth 3 hours for me to do something that it could have took someone else an hour to do? And
right.
so that's one thing that I really stress. And then the other thing is you're either growing or you're going. And
right.
I talk about that because we have to stop making average be the norm and handing out trophies for everything. And I feel that our kids just aren't learning anything by being ordinary. And I want all of us women to be, you know, better than average, like I said. And to be successful, you have to, you know, make sure you're tracking what you're doing. And then I think we have a responsibility to lead.
Right.
You know, I joined the military in the 80s when women weren't valued. And I worked in construction project management in the 2000s. And now I'm a financial advisor in an industry that only has 17% women in it. So those are the biggest things that I want people to take from the book, and that's kind of, you know, a little bit around why I wrote it.
Well, it's funny that you use a couple of metaphors that my daughter told me. I said, baby, how come, you know, you're at a certain age and you're not married and you're not really just out there, you're attractive, you know, you're not trying to really get a husband and get me some grandbabies. She said, Mama, she says, because my life is not like a T-ball game. And I said, a T-ball game? She goes, yeah. She says, you know how the coach gives all of the kids a trophy for participating? She says, I mm-hmm. want to be the trophy, and I want the person to get me because they want it. And I was like,
right.
well, all right. So your book, Woman on Top, How to Win in a Woman's Way. I love the cover. I absolutely love it. What is some of the feedback that you've been getting from readers of your book?
Well, I kind of, my tribe, when I was getting ready to launch the book, I had them help me design the cover. And a little bit of the feedback that I got on the cover is, well, here you are writing a book about, you know, women being on top. One, it's a double entendre in the title itself. And then two,
right.
you're putting a high heel and a man's shoe on the front cover, and all you're doing is throwing women back to the day where, you know, all we have to do is look pretty in our high heels. And I said, and my response to that person was, well, then I did exactly what I needed to do, and I designed everything and titled the book. Because the biggest thing is I want people to think and, you know, really read and get something out of the book and understand, again, back to what I said earlier, that you can be successful and still have your femininity and grace. So when I was in the military, even though, like I said, they conformed, you know, they try to conform you, I still did my hair in an updo. I still wore makeup and I still had my nails done. And while I was in uniform, yes, I conformed to all the regulations, but I wasn't that girl that didn't wear makeup and kind of blended in with everybody. So,
right.
you know, the biggest thing is that, you know, you can be feminine and still be successful without people, you know, thinking that you're being overly sexy or something like that. So
did you curse?
Yeah, I curse like a sailor.
See, you know, my mother caught me and a couple of my girlfriends in the backyard. We was kind of full, and we were letting it loose. And she said, those are no ladies. She said, those were just some foul-mouthed heifers out there. And I was like, wow,
oh.
That was pretty heavy. But, you know, and I was sitting at the base, and there was a military officer, and he was holding court, and I mean he was cussing up. And I told him, you know, you need to dial back on that because you're in the presence of a lady. So, you know, even with that, we're feminine, and we look good. We have our makeup on. We got a little fragrance. You know, we've got our hair in a bun. But when we open our mouth, we have to be careful of what spills out of our mouth because that's the first thing that people are introduced to. So even with that, we don't want to take on the boyishness or the rudeness or the assertion of dirty words when they come out of your mouth. That's a part of being that balance too. So if you could give my brains two great takeaways, two takeaways that they can incorporate in their life as well as in their business from your book, what would they be?
Well, the biggest thing is you can understand that you can have fears and still step in and do something. So one of the things is, it was like writing this book. It was out of my comfort zone to write it. It was out of my comfort zone to actually promote it, because I thought about, you know, what if people didn't like it? Who am I to write a book? And so, you know, I had anxiety about it, but I've learned that the symptoms of anxiety and creativity can be the same. So I just figure one of the biggest thing is take action no matter what. And the other thing is, I really think that women, if they're stuck in their career, they need to analyze the situation, because most likely it's self-imposed, because us women, we get into our heads and we don't want to work, you know, let down our employees or our coworkers or, you know, most importantly, our family. So we tend to continue to do things that we may not want to do. It's not our, you know, our life's purpose. So in chapter one of my book, I take people through an exercise where you can look at your life and you can compare what you do now versus what you would prefer to do. And then just figure out and listen to your inner self and figure out, are you doing work for someone else, or and is it congruent with who you are, or are you just doing it because it's a good paycheck? So that's, you know, again, why I switched over to what I'm doing now, because I really feel that I can help. I've always found that I can help people. And I'm good at looking at a person, observing them, and figuring out what they're good at. And that has translated into helping me figure out what is good for people in the financial world now, and the whole education piece. So that's the main things that I want them to take away.
Well, those are two very valuable takeaways. Brains, I hope that you have on your aviator goggles, because I need you to see clearly as to what is going on when a woman is on top. And I want you to know what it's like, how to win in a woman's world. And you can do all of that by picking up a copy of Karen's book. Karen has been generous enough to send some copies here to On the Edge. I want you to go ahead and like, love, leave a comment. I'm watching. And I'm going to go in and I'm going to pick a lucky winner and give you that, and including some other additional swag that I like to throw in your bag. So, Karen, thank you so much for being on the edge with us. Is there any wisdom or nuggets that you want to leave us with?
Again, just, you know, the title of the book, Woman on Top, how to win in a woman's way. It's, women have the ability to do the things that they need to do. And I developed a course around this, and I am happy to take people through my course and help them figure out, not only on the financial side, but on, you know, the individual side, what is good for them.
Right. Tell us how to get a copy of your book, as well as get involved and get support from you with your program.
They can get a copy of the book at www.womanontop.biz. And that will take you to my homepage. And I would love for you to leave your information so I can keep in touch with you via email with my newsletters. And then if you're interested about the program that I've designed, which I'm launching in September, you can go to the same website, womanontop.biz/apply, and you can schedule a call with me, and we'll see if the program's right for you.
Well, you've got options, okay, and that's what we do here on The Edge. We provide you with options, information, love, support, encouragement, a little laughter, always here on The Edge. Thank you so much, Karen Couric, for being here on The Edge. Please come back. Keep us informed on what's going on. Next time you come back, we want to talk about money, big money, 6-7 figures, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right, brains, go back. I got plenty of edgy conversations, art, entertainment, music, love, sex, science. I got some great stuff coming up. We're about to do a Comic-Con show. We're going to be dressed up as superheroes, and you can be one too. I love you from the bottom of my heart. I'll talk to you soon. Bye, brains.